Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 3, day 4 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 3, 10 through 11. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? God, speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra chapter 3, starting in verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. I want to pause right there. We don't have any prescription in Scripture of David, king of Israel, of how they were supposed to do this. This is coming from some kind of extra-biblical resource, extra-biblical text that they have. David, we're going to see here and in the book of Nehemiah, David had written down the way that they're supposed to do this temple worship, the way that the music and the singing and where they're supposed to be standing and all of this kind of stuff, David actually instructed them on how to do this. David actually created choirs of people, opposing choirs that were to sing. We're going to find out later in the book of Nehemiah, they were supposed to sing opposite each other as if they were praying their prayers and another choir answers as if speaking on behalf of the Lord. And they're supposed to do these things, continually, 24/7 before the temple, before the Ark of the Covenant, in the Lord's presence at the house of the Lord. Most people that I've encountered don't know that this is something that went on. And again, this did not go on throughout the entire history of the temple, but this is something that David prescribed. David set it up. It went throughout the lifetime of Solomon and probably for several generations after that at the very least. And as they're coming back and they're laying the foundations, they're also laying the foundations to reinstitute this temple worship. This is something that most, especially Protestant believers and probably most Christians throughout the world, do not know went on before the temple. But this is not something that has gone unnoticed by Christians and people throughout the last 2,000 years. In fact, there have been several times, long-standing, long-running times, where this kind of 24/7 worship and prayer has been reinstituted in the modern Christian era. The first starting in what was Constantinople at the time, what we know, the city we know as Istanbul. Actually, at the time, the city was named Byzantium. It became known as Constantinople, and now it's called Istanbul. There was 150 years or so that there was continual prayer and worship. There were other places like Clairvaux, France, like Bangor, Ireland, and several other places, including the Moravians in Herrnhut, Germany, where there was 100+ years of continual night and day, 24/7 worship and prayer. In fact, in Bangor, Ireland, starting in, I believe, somewhere around 600 AD, it was about a generation after St. Patrick, might have been 300 AD, somewhere in there, I can't remember the dates offhand right now, but there was 300+ years of 24/7 worship and prayer at times with 1,000 people at a time taking a shift, singing and making music before the Lord 24/7 around the clock. These kinds of movements have happened throughout history because this is what happened before the temple. And Ezra is reminding us here that that is what happened, and they're very keen to reinstitute that as they lay the foundations of the temple to make sure that the prayer and worship starts. This is not just a place to come and offer the sacrifices to the Lord. That's an important part of this, but it's also a place to come and make the petitions before the Lord. Solomon said that when he built the first temple, he said, heaven is your throne and the earth is your footstool. How much less is this house that we're building for you here? But in this place, you will hear our prayers. And the Lord reiterates that, yes, when you come and when you repent in this place, I will hear you. I will heal your land. It says that in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He tells him, in this place, when you come before me and repent before me of your wicked deeds, and then come before me with your petitions, I will hear you. So this is a place that they knew they needed to come, not just with their worship, but with their petitions and their prayers. And when you mix prayer and worship, they become two sides of the same coin. I actually live right now adjacent to the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, and it is also a place that does this. There has been 24/7 worship and prayer going on in a little building in South Kansas City, 24/7 for going on 22 years now. This September, September of 2021, it will be 22 years. It started in September of 1999. They've been doing 24/7 prayer and worship for 22 years. That means it has not stopped. There's not been a moment where there wasn't music and singing and prayer. Not one second for 22 years. The music and the prayer has not stopped. And it's a powerful thing. It's an amazing experience that I get to encounter on a regular basis. I encourage you, if you ever have the opportunity to come for a prayer retreat or a couple of days or a week at a time, to come and visit the International House of Prayer and just see what it's like to be in a place where the Lord is worshiped and there's prayer going on 24/7, night and day. Doesn't matter what time of the day or night, you could walk into the building and there is worship and prayer going on with live worship teams. People have dedicated their lives to this, just like these sons of Asaph, whose only job was to make music before the temple, before the Ark of the Covenant, before the Lord's presence. It's an amazing, amazing experience. And I encourage you, if you ever have the opportunity to come to Kansas City, come here and spend some time at the International House of Prayer and experience what it was like to live in this day, experience why it was so important to them that this get reinstituted. And one of the reasons why this was so important to them was the command that we're about to read, verse 11. Let's go back. It says that they were prescribed by David, the king of Israel, verse 11, with praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. This right here, he is good. His love endures forever. This is one of the most important phrases in all of Scripture. We see here that David commanded them where to stand, how to sing, but he also commanded them to sing this phrase. The Lord is good. He is good. And his love endures forever. And specifically here, his love toward Israel endures forever. This phrase, in some form or fashion, It's changed, it's altered at different times in Scripture, but over and over throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, some version of this phrase is repeated. And we see here that David told them, this is the thing that you need to sing more than anything else. We have the entire book of Psalms, and the book of Psalms was, this catalog of things that they sang before, in the temple and in the tabernacle in the days before the temple, there were the songs that they sang 24/7 in this place. They're a catalog of those songs, but they're not the only things that they sang. But David said, above everything else, sing this. And this is something that we need to remind ourselves of over and over and over again. And this is one of the most important things that we need in our lives, is that the Lord is good. He really is good. That first phrase, that combats the lie, the capital lie that the enemy comes against us with. It was the first lie that the enemy, that the serpent came against Adam and Eve with. Is he really good? Would a good God really say that if you eat from this tree, you'll die? Is that really what a good God will do? That's the basis. That's the foundation of the lie, capital T-H-E, capital L-I-E, lie, that Satan came against us with. Is God really good? And it's the same lie that he comes against people today with. And so reminding ourselves that, yes, the Lord is good. We need to remind ourselves in singing that before the Lord. It's powerful. And the second part of that his love endures forever. His mercy endures forever toward us. We can trust in him, and he has grace for us. He has mercy for us in our sin. His love endures forever, and it even covers our sin. That is such a huge thing for us to remind ourselves of on a regular basis. And David instructed them in this extra biblical text that they're referencing here. David instructed them, sing this. When you can't come up with anything else to sing, when you got a lull, sing this. And this phrase right here, I think it's one of the most important phrases in all of Scripture. It's powerful and reminds us who God is and who he is to us, because he is good, and his love and his mercy and his grace do extend to us forever. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.